Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I'm your host, Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on X, the Everything app. It's all happening on X at jwright929. As always, you can listen to us on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. If you're away from the radio dial, you can stream us on the Odyssey app. We're also available on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, as well as the Sirius XM app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey.
Oh, boy. Let's welcome.
How's it going?
Quite the morning. Quite the morning. Let's welcome to the program my basketball coach, your basketball coach, everyone's basketball coach. Most importantly, Team Thad's basketball coach. You can follow him on the socials at Dream Big Herd. Coach Norton Herd the Fourth. Good day, sir.
Good afternoon. Happy hump day, guys.
I was at the DMV.
Today.
Yeah. So I want to be clear. The two ladies that were working, like the check-in, could not have been nicer. But do you ever have this person in your life? It's usually your wife. And I've always said, the sweet spot in life is to be somewhere in between as smart as your mother thinks you are and as dumb as your wife thinks you are. Like, it's somewhere in the middle. Like, it's like right there. So I let my wife know that I'm going to the DMV, and every follow-up question is always along the lines of, you didn't do this. Shocking. I have made it throughout 38 years on the planet and figured out my way around.
Yeah.
So I am well aware my license is expiring. So I tried to do it online, and online notifies me, your picture's out of date. Go to the kiosk. Great. You know, like one of those self-serve. They used to have it at the Mount Moriah police station, but I think that one's defunct now. If I'm giving out bad information, I apologize. One time I tried to use that one and it was defunct. So I was like, all right, I'm dropping my daughter off. I'll go to the summer location because I know they have kiosks there. They have like four. So I check in to make sure. I was like, hey, I've got a valid driver's license, but I need to get it renewed. It says that I need a new photo. And she's like, oh, don't get in line. Just go do it over the kiosk. I'm like, great. Awesome. So scan my ID, type in my last four of the socials, proceed to get ready to take your mugshot, if you will. And it takes the picture. And then a yellow screen comes up, which is never what you want to see. The only thing you want to see after that is the green check mark or continue. Please continue. Yeah. So this screen pops up saying, please contact supervisor. And then after, I don't know, it can't be more than 10 seconds, it goes away and it gives me a check mark. Like, cool. You're awesome. And I'm thinking, great. This will save me 2 hours. I then hit next, and I'm getting ready to pay. And at that point, it pops up, please see desk.
Oh.
And then it prints out like a receipt. So I go back up to the desk, and she goes, the machine didn't like you. I said, apparently not. And she goes, all right, here's your number. D121, and it took me 30 minutes to even hear D102.
Whoa.
So you're doing all the math, and you also recognize at this point, I don't have the appointment. Like, so I understand there are going to be people that will just skip you. Like, I get it. But I'm thinking I have no choice, and so then I start doing the math of, when is the drop dead date? Like, what's the last point in time that I'm like, I have to be able, like, I got to be out of here. And I sat in my head 11:15 because I thought if I got to a desk, met with the agent or whatever we refer to those that person as, that would give me 20 minutes to do whatever the necessary clerical work would be. And I was like, all right, I could still be able to get in. So we get to like 11 o'clock. And I just decided at this point, it's like, I'm going to go up and ask if she can, if the gate, you know, whatever the there's like two desks. There's the desk right when you walk in to check in, and then the other people that are servicing, you know, the customers, if you will. I don't even know if we're customers. At that point, we're victims. Servicing their next victim. And so I was like, hey, ma'am, like, I'm at D121. Like, can you tell me, like, the numbers had gotten out of order. I was like, can you tell me how many people are in front of me? And she's like, baby, we got three people about to go on lunch.
Whoa.
Which is like the last thing. And so I said, you know, is there any way, can you check the computer? I go, I have gone through the portal. I have a valid driver's license. Like, this shouldn't be that complicated. And she's like, all right, tell me your name. And then I give her my social. And she's like, oh, you just need my approval.
Oh.
And I'm like, could we have not done that 2 hours ago? She's like, I just got to punch in a number. She's like, go back over there. And then when a screen will prompt, it's like, I'll punch in a number. And you just wave for me. Like, this could have taken 3 minutes. Max. 2.5 hours.
DMV tricky, man.
And like, I know it's like this stereotypical, like, but it is one of those ones where you're like, does anyone think this system works? Like, so that was my morning.
That was tough. I think you should have been worried when you heard the when you got the slip that said, go get a ticket.
That, well, that, like, that is like the ultimate. And so it turns out the issue, my picture, according to the system AI, was like, looks too different from my previous picture. Which I believe I did the math. I think that was like from 2011. So 15 years ago.
It should be different.
Well, yeah. I mean, Father Time has not been kind, but also I have a beard and I didn't. Mm-hmm. And so I don't, that the whole issue was basically the system was like booting it out, going like, you need approval because we don't think you are who you say you are.
Who you say you are.
Which, by the way, I'm supposed to believe that this software is going to take over the world? Really? Let's play some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. All right, Coach, this broke yesterday. ESPN polled scouts and execs about the 2026 NBA draft class. We'll start here. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. Cam Boozer is the most likely member of the 2026 class to make an all-NBA team first.
First? So when you say first, do you mean like the other one? Like, can't they all make it 1 year, like two of them, three, or like
the way
egos?
That they were essentially saying this person, because they said most likely, so they didn't want to guarantee any of them. But essentially the premise is this is the person that you would vote that would make an all NBA team first of the draft class. Not first team, but all, you know, any of the three.
Yeah, I'm going to, they all so special. I'm probably going to, I don't know if I'm giving the answer right, short that one, because I think best case, they all, or at least two out of the three, or two out of the lot, will make it at the same time. So when you say first, I kind of, I don't know if I just go there because I just think that class is so special that I don't think it's just one that's going to go the first time they're eligible to go.
So I think I want to buy it. Here would be my logic. So I think the two rosters of the, if we're basically saying of the young guys, like the guys that got drafted, I think the two best roster situations are the Grizzlies and the Jazz. So to me, I'm down between Boozer and Peterson. The difference for me is I think everything through the Grizzlies, like, so basically you're trying to prognosticate which guy's going to be on the best team the soonest and will be the most impactful.
Mm-hmm.
And so while you can tell me Peterson's going to have monster numbers, the one thing I feel pretty confident is that the Grizzlies are building everything around Boozer. And mm-hmm. I don't really feel like the Jazz are building everything around Peterson. He's just another one of these great pieces that they've selected. So I'm down between those two. And I also kind of think name recognition is going to help. And I think it's like if I'm having to bet on which of those two, I think there's going to be more positive arguments in the NBA cognoscenti, if you will, the wise guys that vote on this. I think Boozer's going to appeal to them because it's going to be like PER is going to be high. He's going to, you know, he's going to create a lot of assists, points where you're like, he's going to do all this stuff. Whereas I feel like Peterson's going to just be an elite scorer.
Yeah, Jeffrey, I see that angle. I want to throw one more angle at you, though. The way basketball have gone in the last 5 or 10 years, AJ and Darren will have the ball in their hands more. And also although Boozer has his daddy in the background, AJ and Darren has a whole shoe company fighting with them too.
No question.
You know, if they
no,
if
the
they
marketing
really
arm is definitely gonna be the marketing arms are definitely gonna be around the other two much higher.
Yeah, you know, because Nike really want AJ and I just think them two and going to have the ball in the hand. And then when you say the whole draft class, I'm not even just talking about these three. I think there's some guys in this class that got a chance of doing some really, really special things. So that's why I kind of shorted it or whatever, because I just feel like, let's say Boozer make it his second year, I think somebody else from that class will too.
I was between shorting and buying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you're probably better off betting against it because it's one guy versus the whole class.
A really good class.
Correct.
Really.
And by the way, the guy that we're talking about was not the number one pick. There were two guys that were selected ahead of it.
Yes.
So, but to me, I'm with you on the ball in the hands. I also think though that's kind of how the Grizzlies are going to use Boozer.
Really?
I got a sneaky suspicion. Point four is about to be in our lexicon.
Hold on. They're talking about letting him bring it up and play point forward?
Wouldn't shock me. I mean, that's what he did in Summer League. Now, granted, Summer League is also kind of the experiment, but mm-hmm. I don't think they were going to be deterred by the results that they saw. I think they view him as their offensive engine.
So at this point, they pretty much go allow him to try a lot of things. Although this might sound crazy because he turned out to have a fabulous rookie year. See, I didn't like when Cooper Flags was playing point guard early on with Dallas. I think long term it helped him, but I think it really hurt the team short term.
So if they would have been better, I'd be with you. Mm. I kind of thought what Kidd was doing was smart because he kind of did the same thing with Giannis early. Because they clearly were not concerned with winning, you got no risk. So, like, see what he can handle. Like, to me, like that, it's like the ultimate trial by fire. I'm with you in that I don't think it was what was best for the Mavericks, but you can tell me, like, long-term it was beneficial for Flag, and that's not what they're – like, they weren't concerned about last year.
Got you. Yeah, because like you say early on, he even looked to kind of, you know, what concerns me about it when you're talking about a rookie is like doing a new position, You know, you actually been to play against like the best people in the world and some real grown men. And like I said, he had a rough start off. It looked like it worked out towards the end. And then this year, I know they do want to win because Kyrie's supposed to be back at a certain time and other guys.
I think that's kind of what it was in service of. I actually think they're going to be better this year. Like, I feel like they're getting overlooked.
But I'd agree there. And like, to me, even that's the point that I was thinking of with Flag and even Boozer to that point. Last year, the Mavs did not have like a true traditional point guard with Kyrie hurt. You can look at the Grizzlies right now and say they don't necessarily have a true traditional, like, you know, pass first point guard. You've got Ty, you've got Scotty, you know, you've got Javon. Like, you have a bunch of these guards that can score. But we don't know how they are as like kind of pure facilitators, you know?
Like, Javon's probably their closest pure point guard, but he's on a two-way still.
Right.
And then I think you would probably say next is probably Ty.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, to me, Scotty is a point guard because of his size. It's not because of, like, his actual skill.
Right.
Like, it's just he's too small to be a two.
Is Clay not going to be there?
I mean, he's
on the roster.
On paper.
But he's still going through injuries.
He had injuries and then kind of like a little bit of Wally Pipping. I mean, Javon had a really good summer. Now, there's still the issue of these guys haven't played any like high leverage basketball.
Right.
And while this year's not about winning, they are trying to win more this year than they were last year.
I mean, that's easy to do.
Like, well, they were actively. I mean, you signed Taj Gibson, chef's kiss. All right, here was the next one. I thought this one was interesting. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. AJ DeBonsa will be the first member of the 2026 class to make an All-Star team.
I'm going to have to give the same answer. I'm between buy and short, and I'm probably going to go short because I feel like the year he do it, it will be somebody else from that class to do it too.
The only thing I was thinking about is he's going to be in the East.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather be a wing in the East or a wing in the West?
I mean, clearly anything in the East right now should be a tad better. I'm talking about a tad better than, like, in the cars in your favorite, you know, night in, night out.
Well, like, I'm thinking, so you got.
Is it, though?
That's what, at the wings, now.
You got New York.
You've got Braun over there now.
But to me, it's like.
Maybe Kawhi, and if Kawhi has a year like he did last year.
But, like, with Braun, I don't think any of them are making it this year. Do y'all think that that's too hot of a take?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I think that's fine, yeah.
Is Bron there next year? I mean, I know he signed the two-year deal, but.
I think he want to do 25. I think that's how he want to leave. I don't think they're going to do the tour. Well, you say you think so. I think the tour going to be next year.
We've already got the cameras this year. Now, there's nothing stopping him from doing, you know, I'm sure he's seen the Odyssey, so maybe make it like a, you know, it's his version of a 3.5-hour documentary.
I don't know. I feel like hiring a camera crew for 2 years is not cheap.
Don't they own a production company now?
Do they?
I thought him and Maverick have a production company.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was saying something. Might. Maverick been doing a lot. Yeah.
I mean, hey, if they've got those guys are just on retainer at that point. Yeah.
What's Maverick's role?
Maverick is like the business guy.
But how's he different? How is he different from Rich?
Rich kind of only mostly handle like basketball contract, Nike contract, stuff like that. And then I think Mab is working on their like life out the basketball, like tech companies and like you say, production companies and all of that type of stuff.
Okay. All right. I mean, that makes literally it's as simple as Rich is his basketball agent. Maverick Carter's like his business manager.
His business, yeah. That's what it pretty much is, yeah.
I think you're right. I think I want to short it. I like AJ a lot. I do think that I can see a universe where he's like not an all-star. Where the
ever.
I can see where he's just kind of a pretty good volume shooter.
Mm.
And that's not necessarily an all-star. But like, would I bet on that? No. But I do think it's in the realm of possibility. And again, this is back to like the same question of it's this versus the field. I think I'd rather have the field. Like,
and I don't think like that's not discounting the other stuff that he does on the floor, because he's a decent facilitator. Like he's a good defender. He's long.
The problem with AJ is your entire like draft evaluation process kind of got flipped on its head as soon as BYU had all the injuries. Because
right,
if you're in the business of winning basketball games, which is what BYU is, like, yeah, at that point you are better off giving him the ball and saying play hero ball. What other options do they have?
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, does that make that the best like version for him? Like, probably not. Like, we didn't see a ton of like the offensive creation. It doesn't mean like I think he can't do it. It's like we just didn't really see it.
And like that isn't his fault though.
No, like, to me, like, it's a lot like when you watch a quarterback in a gimmick offense.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Like, am I 1,000% certain Fernando Mendoza is going to be, you know, a top 10 quarterback? No. I mean, does he have the making? Just like, sure, but like I have no idea. They ran RPOs like 80% of the time, and you can't do that in the NFL.
Yeah, for sure. Like, they definitely ran that
as much as you want to with Ashton Gentu back there. But you know, you're right.
Well, I mean, think. There's two things. Number one, you can't run your quarterback that much. But number two,
no.
In the NFL, they are actually serious about schematic cheating. In college, we let offensive linemen go 8 yards down the field, and you can, you know, then throw a backside slant off of that. In the NFL, the minute an NFL lineman goes an inch past 1 yard, the flag's coming out.
Yep.
So you can't run like the cheating offense,
yeah,
which we allow in college football because, well, we like scoring.
It is fun.
We just make it impossible for DBs to cover in the NFL. We do it the good old-fashioned way with illegal contact.
Mm-hmm. But no, Jeffrey, I definitely think I get where you're going. Sometimes when you see AJ, you could say, is he what he hyped to be? But I would probably, and this is a strong statement, if my life was on the line, I would think he at worst would make like 2-3 all-star game. I couldn't see him going like a 10-15 year career not making an all-star game. I think if you made me bet,
all three make multiple all-star teams.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's somebody we're missing too in that class.
Well, this is going to be the next one. Buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. This one actually surprised me. AJ DeBonta has the highest ceiling from the 26 draft class. So
I mean,
I'll go first since I've been putting you on the spot. I'm short.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
How is the answer? This is ceiling, so it's all theoretical.
Mm-hmm.
How is the highest ceiling guy not Caleb? Caleb. Right?
Yeah, like, ceiling is
like
crazy.
If Caleb becomes like a 40% 3-point shooter with that athleticism, that length, like, how is he not the highest ceiling guy? Like, that's kind of what was intriguing about him early.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be bigger than the rest of them.
Yeah, Caleb is the one that I'm with Jeffrey on this one, George. I don't know if we broke a record for the most shorts of all time.
Well,
whatever.
It's also it's an unfair system because we're literally picking one person out of the end. Like, all these questions are, would you rather have one person under the field? And I can't think of anything I'd rather have one person than.
Yeah, and the class is so good too. It's like I got a short there too. I can see that happening, but it's like, and even outside of Caleb Wilson, it's someone we just
I was thinking about this, like, if my theory is right that my beautiful boy Darius Acuff that the defense was not as bad as the tape was. But it's because Cal was basically saying, like, son, you've got to do everything. And mm-hmm. I'll let you – if we score 120, I don't care if you give up, you know, 30 points. But he was longer than expected. He was thicker than expected. There's a universe where he can become an adequate defender. I'm not saying, like, he's locked down. I'm not saying move over Gary Payton. But if you combine that he is not a liability on defense, I think he definitely has the highest offensive ceiling.
You know what? I know we didn't say this back and forth. We didn't gave people praise for having a good summer league, and we didn't say, but you can't count summer league. I ain't gonna lie, I didn't like his summer league.
My biggest thing to not like is the Kings.
Yeah, but his shooting percentage was. But this is the thing, Jeffrey. I don't know if you kept up and saw him. His shooting percentage, and I love David, like, his shooting percentage was terrible. It was terrible in summer league.
That's why I was not like, yes, I totally agree with what you're saying. I also kind of just like tossed it away. I think the guy can shoot. Like I have a bigger concern about can he stay on the floor by only being a one-way player than I do of, hey, his shooting's not going to translate.
No, his shooting will, but one thing that the NBA did, Jeffrey, do you remember this in George about 10 years ago and it pissed Chris Paul off? Back in the day, it was a mano a mano. Nowadays, in the fourth quarter, they take that big small forward or power forward or OG.
So it used to piss Ja off when they went to the new offense without ball screens last year?
The LaRoche, the spread out.
Like, that was what was pissing Ja off because every team just put like a 6'7", 6'8" wing like, at the top, and it just like he was just getting so furious.
Like McDaniel, so they didn't do that back. It was a mano point, you know, back in the days, bro. So what summer league showed me, well, no, it's just summer league, but what it did make you question was, guys, is yes, we know A-Cup can shoot, but is he going to still force those type of shots on them 6'7"s, and then how accurate would he be in that case? I think that's the question.
Yeah, but then you can just do what Steph did. You can shoot before they get on you.
I don't know if he's shooting it like that now. He more he got dribbles too. Like he more off the dribble. I don't know if he just
a reminder. I believe A-Cup's shooting percentage was better than Steph's in college.
Really?
I'm double checking.
I was going to say, even to that, because, Coach, like, I 100% agree. Like, we see it all the time now, especially with some of the smaller guards, where these big wings just crash. The Kings, at the very least, when it comes to their NBA roster, like, there are going to be other options that teams are going to have to cover. Like, they'll be able to run screens off guys like Sabonis. Like, LaVine is still there. Like, he'll be able to kind of help out in the mid-range, like, give more options. That Kings Summer League team was interesting. I'll say that much. Interesting is a good word for it.
I forgot. This is where my being A-Cup's PR agent for the greater part of 6 months came into play.
What's Steph shoot in college?
Steph for his, now granted, it's 3-year career.
Okay.
41.2. Darius was 44% this year. And before everyone goes, I'm cherry picking, Steph's best year from three, 43.9. Nothing further, Your Honor.
Oh, let me ask this then. I know I don't create the buy sales short of Reddick, but you're getting, hey, George, I think he's getting really hyped here. He's the PR guy. So I want to buy sales short of go to Reddick to you, Jeffrey. Will Darius A-Cup have a better career than Steph Curry in the NBA?
God, could you imagine? What would the return on that ticket be? If I'm sitting there on that stock, where literally you're like, this guy's going to be better than the greatest shooter of all time?
And the first or best second point guard of all time.
God, I'm tempted. I love this kid.
Don't do it. I know you want to.
I'm selling it, and I love it. I'm selling it. George, I'm selling it.
I want to be clear. If Darius is listening, I know he is. This is not about you, young man. I'm shorting this just because of it's about where you are.
Good old Sacramento,
correct,
baby.
If I had any faith in that organization, I'd believe. But it's just like, you know, it's sorry, George, but it's like when your guy gets drafted by the Jets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to be clear. My franchise isn't exactly sitting on a development statue here. Like, the only reason why the Giants are not held up as incompetent is because we have the Jets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's true.
Like, we are just as incompetent. It's just y'all get at the headlines. Because your owner's not part of the club.
No, he's not.
But ours, you know, ours are, I don't know if you've heard of the Roonies and the Maras, but they're like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I mean, it's the same thing, at least for not the Browns.
I think that's fair. Because, like, that is fascinating. Are they really just going to do the Deshaun thing? Because at first, I was buying into the thought of they were dangling the Deshaun carrot to motivate Shadur to do the more grown-up things that he needed to do to play quarterback. Now it's almost like I think they're just going to play him and be like, we'll play him until it doesn't work, and then we'll go to Shadur.
So, about a game. Or do you think they give him a little bit more than that?
Yeah, I don't think it's Deshaun.
I just don't.
So, with all due respect to Kevin Stefanski's dad, who I like a lot, I've never had the Stefanski gene.
Mm-hmm.
I do kind of... I kind of think Monken's pretty good.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
You can talk me into a universe where Monken makes him look functional. And if he's functional, then they won't, like...
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing about the Browns. They would be, I feel like, a sneaky hype team if they just had anyone at quarterback that you had, like even if they just had a bus driver. Like, the
if they'd kept Flacco.
I'd say, like, think about, like, if they had 30-year-old Andy Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is, like, not going to take you anywhere. Like, that's good enough to get you to the wild card game and get beat.
Sure.
But, like, I think the Browns, because the defense, even without Myles Garrett, still nasty. They got dudes.
Oh, yeah.
The receiving core's not bad. Their O-line's pretty good. I never understood, like, why Stefanski always got the benefit of the doubt, because I'd watch them and I'm like, what am I missing on this guy? Like, I felt like he was in the tier of, like, my beloved Shanny, McVay, KOC, but I never saw the results.
Yeah, yeah, I think what they're trying to do too, guys, you know how you might have something that think we all done been here before, that, like, we made a purchase at the right time or overpaid for, and we want to,
the,
like,
sunk cost. It was me at the DMV this morning.
Yeah.
You were already there for 2 hours.
I had to see it through.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you might have a nice outfit, whatever it is, and it's like, but it didn't pass this time. You know, I got to get something for this. I really think they're probably going to do a game or two, like you say, George, just because they want to feel like, are we going to get out? I mean, we got to pay this guy. We're not ready to pay this guy. I mean, clearly, it's not going to work out. Clearly, even if he became a Pro Bowl this year, it still was a bad deal compared to the length of it.
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, they're still on the hook, I think, for $46 more million.
Yeah, so it's like they're on the hook for everything. I mean, because
he did restructure it.
Oh, that's right.
He restructured, yeah. But he's still getting the guaranteed money. It's not like he said you can have the money back.
No. It's not changing the guarantee. It's.
I mean, hey, man, you gave me the contract.
Right.
But I think he didn't hurt all athletes ever for that NFL-wise, because everybody was already mad at the owner for doing it. And now that it worked out so horrible, I don't think nobody else can ever ask for it. Like,
no,
even
I think you bring up a good point. Players should be more mad at him than they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that would have worked, like, in the same way, like, if we want to believe that the owners operate like the mob, if it would have worked, they're all going to be competitive. And so the fact that it didn't work, it's like, we'll never do that again. We can't let the outlier be right. But it's like, if the outlier's right, then they'll all start copying it.
For sure.
And I the mean, fact that he was so bad, it's like that just reinforced they're not doing it again.
They're not doing it. Yeah, it could be Pat Mahomes mixed with Tom Brady.
I mean, Josh Allen doesn't have a guaranteed contract, and Josh Allen hasn't missed, like, a game.
Pat Mahomes don't have a fully – I mean, they have some – Pat Mahomes don't have a fully guaranteed contract.
Now, they basically were like, here's $500 million.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, and I think one of them got half of their money up front, too.
I think they both end up doing the – when you restructure, they just give you the cash up front. Because it basically gets it gets reorganized into a signing bonus.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. You want to stick around for one more segment, talk a little college ball?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
All right. Let's do that. When we come back, we got a couple of college football topics I want to discuss with Coach. We'll do that next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Are you wanting to build up your savings and grow in your financial stability? Our friends over at Leaders Credit Union can help you do that because you can open a certificate. Opening a certificate might be the right choice for you to stay on track. For a limited time, Leaders Credit Union is offering a 4.25 APY certificate special that is guaranteed for 12, 24, or even 36 months. These specials are available on new money or with a new checking account. They also have a welcome certificate exclusively for new members that offers up to a 5% APY for 12 months with up to a $5,000 deposit. You can make your returns count at Leaders Credit Union. Visit the special webpage they've designed for our listeners, leaderscu.com/ESPN, where you can learn more and even learn how your membership fee is waived. They've got over 85,000 fee-free ATMs and a mobile app that's available 24/7 that allows you to do all of your banking right there on your phone. leaderscu.com/ESPN. All right, Coach, I saw this story as I was hanging out in the DMV for 2 hours and essentially show planning on my phone, and I thought this would be just the topic for my guy, Coach. The Sporting News, in honor of their 140th anniversary, decided to rank the best college football teams of all time. Your 2001 Miami Hurricanes, number two. Do you care to guess who they ranked number one?
We're number one. Was it the people who cheated us?
Nope.
Not them?
Because it's the 01 team. This is the team that smoked Nebraska.
Oh, that's the 01 team. 2001 team?
Correct.
So it was the 2002 team that got cheated by Ohio State.
Correct. In the 03 Fiesta Bowl.
01. Now you got me thinking, who else was the best teams that
year? It is in our lifetime, but we were young.
Oh, so they just saying ever.
Correct.
Yeah, that 2002-2003, boy, Miami had. If you saying ever, I know people liked it. Some Notre Dame teams back in the day, some Nebraska teams.
There you go. It's really the first national championship game I remember watching start to finish and also being wildly heartbroken because I love the fun and gun. The 95 Nebraska team. So their closest game was 14 points against Wazoo of all teams. Here was the write-up. They averaged 52.4 points per game. Keep in mind, y'all, they ran the triple. They gave up 13.6. So they were the number one scoring offense, the number four scoring defense. They won the national title game 62-24. They had wins of 64-21 over Oklahoma State. They beat Nick Saban's Michigan State 50-10. Arizona State, they beat them 77-28. Somehow they played Pacific. I didn't even know Pacific had a football team. Beat them 49-7. Wazoo was their only game within 14 points, 35-21. They beat Mizzou 57-0. Number 8, Kansas State, 49-25. Number 7, Colorado on the road, 44-21. They hung 73 on Iowa State, beat them 73-14. Beat KU 41-3. Beat Oklahoma 37-0. And then beat Florida in the championship game 62-24.
Yeah, they meant business.
01 Miami was number 2. 2019 LSU was number three.
Hold on, 2019. Was that Burrow?
Yeah.
That was Burrow, Justin Jefferson, Chase, and then that essentially NFL defense that all got drafted that one year.
Burrow, Jamar, Grant Delpit, Stingley. Justin was on that team. Edwards-Helaire was the running back. I also kind of give some credit. I'm listening to more arguments for LSU simply because you're in the era where you couldn't just, like, stack teams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You could a little bit in 2019.
It wasn't quite right. That's like the last one, but we still had the portal.
No, you didn't have the portal in 2019.
We had the portal, but we didn't have but we didn't necessarily have the immediate waiver.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So yeah, you just had the regular transfer, but that always been out too.
05 Texas is at number 4. 04 USC is at 5. 71 Nebraska. Okay, I can't. The interesting I thought was they put Alabama's 09 team ahead of their 2020 team. The difference to me is 2020 was dominant, but do we knock them just because it was the COVID? Mm. Like, nobody practiced.
Yeah.
Defense was horrible that season. I was a little surprised 2022 Georgia showed up, right? That's the team that loses to Alabama in the SEC title game, but then beats them in the championship game, right? Or is that the TCU year?
22?
Yeah.
I think that's the one where they lost in kind. Where do they have them ranked at?
They have them at 12.
But most of the teams in that top 10 or 12 didn't lose a game, right? So there might not be. Did Georgia ever go undefeated a year?
That's what I was trying to remember. I thought they lost to Alabama.
They did one year.
No, 2022 is the year, right?
2022 is the TCU year.
And that
they were undefeated.
Did they go undefeated? Is that the year they beat LSU in the title game?
Yeah, they went 15-0 that year.
Yeah.
That was their that SEC championship game where they beat LSU 50-30.
Yeah, I feel like if you that high, Jeff, for them all undefeated teams, the ones that's probably in the top.
I was trying to see if there was a team that took a loss.
They don't have no Ohio State teams in it in the top 15 or 20.
The first Ohio State team is the 1968 Ohio State. That's the only one they rank.
Hmm.
What they rank?
They ranked 14th.
1968. Ooh, Ohio State been killing. Michigan ain't got no teams on there?
No Michigan teams. Miami has 3 teams on the list. I believe that sets the standard, yes. 01, 87, and 91.
I agree.
So no other team has more than 2.
I agree. I think people got so caught up in the SEC and Alabama that when you look at the history, and we even fell off some years, if you look at the history, and I'm not trying to preach right now, guys, of the 80s, the 90s, and the early 2000s, like at one point before Nick Saban went to Alabama, Miami had like way more first NFL first runners than anybody in the history of college like program at one point. Like it was crazy.
One thing that is always kind of annoying is like when you look at history, it's like the outcome seemed inevitable. How the hell did it take until the 80s to figure out, hey, we should just get all the players from Miami?
Yeah.
Like, why? Like, how did it take all the way to Howard Schnellenberger to figure that out?
Well, not to get too deep, Jeffrey, you were still going through the time, too, at one point, like the best players in South, because it's in the documentary from South Florida, and even like the Dion, they all were staying in the project. So at one point, Miami ain't the Miami it is. They were party school. It was a, prestigious private kind of Catholic white school at one point. And so Dahlenberg was one of the first guys that took the pipe and went to the hood and, you know, and got to know the community and stuff like that back in the, yeah, back in the day, you know, it was a little different.
Right. Schellenberger's before Jimmy, right? Or was it Erickson? I thought Erickson was after him. Yeah, Schellenberger. Yeah, it goes Schellenberger, then Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, then Erickson. Yeah. And then, what's the guy named, the older guy?
Well, Coker gets the title. Butch Davis built the team.
Yeah, Butch Davis built the team. But then Coakley ended up getting, he had a sad ending. Well, that's when the team started flipping, getting out of, well, it was always years where they got out of hand in Miami, but his years they didn't win and they got out of hand. And so they ended up booting him. And then we went down for a minute.
12-0, 12-1, 11-2, 9-3, 9-3, 7-6.
Who record was that?
That was Larry Coker.
Which is pretty good, but he came in when they when they had been.
No, I mean, that's kind of the other thing. It's like, you know, Frank Solich got fired for going, you know, I think they lost their bowl game, so it went 7-7. And right now Nebraska would kill for a bowl game.
Kill. And now you know what? After looking at this list, because, you know me, I'm a little, I didn't see that 95 game like you did, Jeffrey. I wasn't quite into it yet till around 2000. That's why I fell in love with Miami. I was 13 years old. I saw these colors, and I got into around 99. I'm seeing Ken Dorsey fling the ball. I'm like, what is this school, you know? And they came on CBS Sports. But now that this, now you telling me the history, I always been wondering, why is Nebraska fans so delusional? Like, they always think they're finna get a good coach. They always think they're supposed to win. But I'm like, why? I knew they had history, but I'm just like, nah, it makes sense. This is one of the most dominant schools of all time. I think we're getting so far away in a minute. I don't know if you can call them a blue blood of football anymore or anything like that. But I'm starting to see why they are, because, you know, as crazy as they are.
Yeah, steroid testing really hurt Nebraska. The other things that hurt them, they invented the additional scholarships where all of a sudden the 6'7" farm boy that weighed 350 pounds and was like a first team All-American offensive lineman. Oh, look at that. What an outstanding academic student you are. And so what it used to be, I think you could have 25 walk-ons, and all their walk-ons were just full scholarship academic guys. And so they stacked teams. Also, they pioneered the mythical Jesus figure as your head coach, but who also would play criminals. Lawrence Taylor. Or Lawrence Phillips, sorry, not Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Phillips. I think the other thing that hurts Nebraska, like, Nebraska's parallels are similar to Tennessee in that once everybody got on TV, their advantages started to dwindle. Because now everybody, you know what I mean? Like, then Tennessee's done a better job of building back up. Like, Tennessee also, I would make the argument, Tennessee's peak also coincides with Georgia basically being at the worst they've ever been as a program. Clemson was a non-factor. South Carolina was god-awful. North Carolina didn't care. So they got to surround that entire area. I mean, like, every like first-team running back came from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Like, they were just cleaning up in Georgia. They'd get the best players in North Carolina, South Carolina. And then all those other programs started to compete, and they couldn't dominate quite like they did. But, I mean, like, they've done a better job of getting back to respectability than Nebraska has. I'm a little surprised Nebraska in the NIL era is not more competitive, because the entire state funnels, there's a decent amount of money, and it all funnels to them.
Now, with Tennessee, I will say this about Tennessee. Man, this might sound crazy, but Tennessee feel like a brand, though, that no matter how down they are, they go figure a way to be relevant at some point again. Whether it's a few weeks.
Nebraska's kind of the same thing. The difference is you and I just are more exposed to Tennessee. No, it's okay. like say what you want about Tennessee, but it's like you can hate them all you want. They'll play some game, and it's like in Charlotte against West Virginia, and it's like 70,000 people dressed in orange.
For sure.
But it's kind of the same thing with Nebraska. I mean, like, they still have the sellout streak going. I think Rhule made some bad coordinator hires. Like, I don't ever love hiring a Satterfield running my offense. And then when you get...
Rhule is still there, right?
He is.
They had tried to give him, like you say, the standard that went down. He went like, what, one game over 500 some a year or two ago or two. They were trying to give him an extension.
Well, I mean, think about this. They fired Bo Pelini for basically saying, like, you know, 9-3 is probably the ceiling right now. And they'd kill for 9-3.
For sure.
Let's see. Who did they hire? I think they made a better. Oh, yeah, they've got. Isn't that where Dana is? I think Dana's their offensive coordinator now.
That sounds right. Give me a sec.
I'm pretty sure that's where Dana is. Because Dana also was like, hey, can we not play Dylan Raiola?
Yeah, it is Dana.
Where did Dana come from?
So Dana was at Houston, got fired, and then I think Dana was just like going around to casinos throughout the United States of America playing blackjack.
Gotcha. So he set out a year or two.
Correct. They brought him in as like the old analyst.
Consultant.
Yeah. I also thought this was interesting. Brett McMurphy went and looked at the teams in preseason polls that are consistently most overrated. So the idea would be your ranking and final ranking have the widest disparity. Who do you think the number one team would be?
That gets ranked every year it and is don't the, go through.
I should clarify. It's the CFP era, so start in 2014.
They usually start off high and never finish high.
Correct. Oops. I was surprised at this one.
Is it Florida? Well, Florida ain't been getting ranked high lately, right?
Nope. Florida did not appear on the
Texas.
20th. I thought they'd be higher too.
Yeah, because they be gassing them up and they got a lot of money. Clemson just fell off lately. They was
number four. That would have been my guess, I think. Number one is Auburn. Two is LSU. Three is USC. Four is Clemson.
I see USC.
Five, see Wisconsin. Six, Florida State. Seven, A&M. Eight, Oregon. Nine, Oklahoma. 10, Michigan. Most underrated, which I thought was also interesting, BYU. Consistently outperforming expectations. Two was Indiana, which that's quite the run in the last 2 years. Three, Northwestern. Four, Iowa.
Oh, Big Ten school.
Five, Boise State. Six, Ole Miss.